It's actually 2 weeks ago. My biggest worry was that I was supposed to teach a class this morning, and I was supposed to do an orientation with the students. And I was worried about the traffic, about how I was going to get to one to the other. That was my big worry 2 weeks ago. So in the end, I didn't give that class. And in the end, the students didn't come. So, yeah, we can worry. That itself is good. You know, we can worry about all that we want, and then we realize we're worrying about the wrong things. So it wasn't so easy to prepare for the share this week. I don't know. It's hard to focus, and other things kept coming up, and sometimes life gets in the way. And I actually, at one point, there was one issue that I decided I wanted to discuss with somebody in terms of some of the theological issues involved. And I called up this fellow, and he's a professor in Bar-Ilan. And then he said, how are you thinking now? How do you have any like bandwidth to be thinking? And I said, I don't know. So let's begin. So this week, with the schedule, the way it works out, after Simchat Torah, I would have thought out a whole week to prepare also. So that also did not work out exactly as we thought. So let's begin. I'm jumping into the third chapter, and I will we'll just begin. There's really one particular word that I want to focus on, which causes an incredible amount of problems. I just don't know if it's real or if it's artificial, but we'll see. But there's another part that is preliminary that we'll need to understand as well. The word arum is very interesting over here, because the word arum was used in the previous verse, and that was to indicate sly or cunning. Sorry. Here it's sly or cunning, and in the last verse it was to indicate without clothing, that Adam and Eve were without clothing. Here, v'hanachashaya arum b'kol chayata sadeh. So you have this really deliberate, and let's keep in mind that the divisions between the chapters are somewhat artificial. So we ended the last chapter with the Adam and Eve being naked and not being embarrassed, that there was no sense of embarrassment at all. Now, that probably is more important than I'm giving, you know, any kind of indication right now. One reason why there may have been no embarrassment is because there was no one else there. I mean, they had the whole garden to themselves. I don't know if you ever considered that, but there's no embarrassment whatsoever. V'nachashia arum mikol chayata sadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim. Now, the thing that I want to focus on, which is very easy when you look at my sources, is the name Hashem Elokim. So the first chapter was exclusively Elokim. The second chapter was all Hashem Elokim. So over here, this actually, the way that it's presented, continues from the second chapter. Vayomer Eli Isha, and this sly Nachash says to the woman, Afki Amar Elokim. Now notice, he just now deviated from Hashem Elokim. Hashem, of course, is Rachamim. Elokim is Midat Hadin. Now, I don't know if the Nachash knew that, but I know that, and therefore we're able to pay attention to this. Af ki amar Elokim lo tochlu mikol eitz hagan. So part of what you need to pay attention to is, by dropping the Hashem, the Midat HaRachamim, and only leaving it as Midat Hadin, he makes it sound like, look at these rules that are made up. Elokim said that you can't do anything. It's the sense of right, you can't eat kimar lo tochlu mikol eitz hagan, which means there is this law without any reason which is set up. Now, of course, there's a reason, by the way. The reason we've learned previously, and we'll go back to that soon, that when you eat it, you'll die. So that's not, that, by the way, could very well be Midat HaRachamim. Midat HaRachamim says, don't eat this thing which is dangerous for you. V'tomar isha l'nachash mipri ha'etz nochel, that we can eat from the trees of the field. U'mipri ha'etz asher b'toch hagan amar Elokim lo tochlu min v'lo tegubo pen tumoton. And when it comes to the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, Elokim said, don't eat it nor touch it, lest you die. Now, I don't know if you realize how many problems there are. We'll read, if you want, one or two more verses, and then we'll go back. V'yomer Nachash, the serpent said, lo motumotun, you're not going to die. Now, the question, of course, is, so who's right? Did they die? Did they not die? So the answer is, well, it's not all that clear. But we'll see more. Ki yodea Elokim knows, ki biyomach lachem imenu v'nivchoinechem, that when your eye, that when you eat it and your eyes open up, yitim ki Elohim yodea tovura, you will be like God's knowing about good and evil. Now, one thing that I do want to stress over here is, has the Nachash said anything which isn't true until this point? Second thing I want you to pay attention to, or maybe we'll do this sequentially from the beginning. The shift between Hashem Elohim to Elohim, we noticed. Did you notice what's missing in this whole discussion? I'll help you. There's something missing that is not brought up whatsoever in this whole discussion. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was never mentioned. So now, it could be that you think it's there. It's just not there. Rather, the back and forth was that the serpent says you can't eat from every tree of the field. Mipri Eitz Hagan. And Pasuk Gimel, Afkim Aluki, that's Pasuk Aleph, Ki Amalukim Lo Tuchlu Mikol Eitz Hagan, and Vatoma Yishai Lachash Mipri Eitz Hagan Nochel. We can't eat from the fruits of the tree. By the way, second point, did God ever discuss the fruits of the tree? I know that you think that he did, but he didn't. It never said anything about the fruits. Only thing it said about was the tree. Of course, you're going to say to me, well, what does it mean you can't eat from the tree? Of course it means the fruits, but I'm just pointing out it wasn't there. Pasukim, Priya Eitz Asher B'toch Hagan. Notice, it doesn't say which tree it is. It says the tree which is B'toch Hagan. So part of what we need to know is, what does the word B'toch mean? So let's just look at the Targum for a moment. Targum in source number 2, Pasuk Gimel, Umi Peri Ilana, from the fruits of the tree, Dimitziut Ginta, the one in the middle of the garden, which is very interesting because the word betoch should be inside. Betoch Hagan, in the gan. And he translates this as in the center of the gan, which seems to be a little awkward. Matter of fact, in just a couple of verses from here, we're told, if we'll keep on reading, Pasuk Vav, Vatera Isha Ki Tov Ha'etz. Now we had Tov all over the first chapter. God kept looking at things and saying, that's Tov, that's Tov, that's Tov, till it was Tov Ma'od. Ki Tov Ha'etz L'ma'achal, V'chi Ta'ava Hu L'Einayim. The word Ta'ava, by the way, is not a good one. V'nechmad Ha'etz L'haskil, and it's pleasant in order to become educated. V'tikach Mi'Peryo V'tochel, that she took from the fruit and shade, v'titen gam le'isha ima v'yochal, and then she gives to her man as well to eat. And one could interpret that as in a very negative way. She says, well, if I'm going to hell, I'll take him with me. Or it could be that she likes to share with her husband. So you could decide this, if this is being benevolent or if this is being cynical. V'tikpachna einei shneihem, and both of their eyes opened up, and then v'yidu, and they knew, because presumably this is the Eitz HaDaat Tov HaRa. V'yidu ke'erumim heim, and now they realize that they were in fact naked, which we were told at the end of the last chapter that they were naked. Of course, I can ask another question. Does the knowledge that they're naked, is that Tov HaRa? Is that something good or is that something bad? Or is that the combination of Tov HaRa? V'yitperu alei te'einav v'yisulim chagurot, and then they took fig leaves and they covered themselves up. V'yishmut kol Hashem Elokim. Notice, it's back to Hashem Elokim, which is the way that it was introduced. It was only in the narrative, in the discussion, the dialogue between the serpent and the woman, that only Elokim is noticed. V'yishmu et kol Hashem Elokim etalech began l'ruach hayom, v'yitchabe ha'adam v'yishto mipnei Hashem Elokim b'toch ha'etz hagan, and they hid. Now the word b'toch is used again, so we can go back to source number 2 and again look at the Targum, and over here he uses a different word for b'toch, and he writes at the end, v'itmar is to hide, adam v'itite, and his wife, min kadam Hashem Elokim b'goy ilan ginta, inside the garden, or the trees of the garden, which means over here you have the word betoch in two different verses in the same chapter, within a couple of verses of one another, and one time he's very specific about location, and one time it's very, very unspecific and just very general. Previously, in source number 3, we're told, Vayita Hashem Elokim, so again, notice, this is all chapter 2, as I said, is all Hashem Elokim, Gan Be'edim, Mikedim, V'yasem Sham, Et Adam Asher Yatzar, V'yitzmach Hashem Elokim, And again, Hashem says, "Min adama kol eitz nachmad lemar'eh v'tov lemachal." By the way, that would be really be interesting to compare what is said in the description of the tree with what the woman actually saw. Ve'eitz hachayim b'toch hagan ve'eitz hadat tov v'ra. Now, I hope you realize how awkward the second half of that verse was. The first part was, and God planted, the Lord God, if you will, planted, you know, all of these trees, nechmad lemer v'tov lemachal, pleasant to see and good for eating, ve'eitz hachayim b'toch hagan ve'eitz hadat tov v'ra. So which tree is described as being b'toch hagan? Presumably, it's the Eitz HaChaim is B'toch HaGan. And then there is this afterthought, Ve'Eitz Da'adat Tovara. And there is also this other tree, and that's this Eitz Da'adat Tovara. Now, I hope that you're all by this point sufficiently confused. Yes? Did you see why you should be confused now? Because the tree which is B'toch HaGan and is, in fact, the Eitz HaChaim. So when it says over here that the woman says, and we priya eitz asher betoch hagan amar lokim lo tochlu mimenu v'lo tegibo, which tree is she talking about? Pentamutun. Because the second part, or the last part, pentamutun, only applies to the eitz hadat tov v'ra. Lo tegu, don't touch it, doesn't apply to either tree. By the way, not to eat from the fruits doesn't apply to any of them at all, as we'll see again in a moment. But first, this word over here, Ve'etz HaChayim B'toch HaGan Ve'etz Da'at Tovara, here the Targum Onkelos again uses the word Ve'ilan Chaya, and in source 4, and the Tree of Life, B'mitzi'ut Ginta, in the middle of the garden. So now, you are now stuck with yet another problem. What was the location of the various trees? We're told in chapter 2 that the tree which is in the center of the garden is the Eitz HaChayim. And presumably that they sinned by eating from the Eitz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra, which was in the center of the garden, which then leaves you with a little bit of a problem. So which one of them was in the center of the garden? And that's really where the confusion comes from. Now, I want to stress something. I'm not sure if the problem I just now said is real, or we just now somehow created it. But, and by the way, when I say we, it's me, and it's you, and it's Onkelos. Because Onkelos is to blame, at least a bit, because he used the word b'mitziut over here. It's in the middle. So therefore, according to Onkelos, there are two trees which are in the center. Of course, there could be confusion, because that's what happens when you eat from a tree of confusion, but you would have thought that the confusion only takes place after you eat from the tree, but we're a little bit ahead of ourselves, as you can see. And when you read that verse again, at the end of Pasuk Tet, Ve'etz HaChayim B'toch HaGan, Ve'etz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra, what is that Ve'etz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra? Does that mean that they're both in the center of the garden? What is that Ve'etz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra? What about it? I'll say it again. Ve'yitzmach Hashem Elokim min adama kol eitz nachmad lemer v'tov lemachal, Ve'etz HaChayim B'toch HaGan, Ve'etz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra. And again, what about it? Unless it's continuing from the previous phrase. And as I said, if you're confused, then wonderful. In source 5, it continues the narrative in chapter 2. God took man and he placed him in the garden to work it and to guard it. And here is the commandment, Lamor, saying, Lamor, by the way, means to communicate it. Lamor, say it over, which means he's telling him to tell it to Eve, who doesn't exist yet. Mikol eitz hagan ochal tochlal, eat from every tree. Notice, no pri. The pri is not mentioned here. Ume eitz hadat tovara lo tochlu mimenu. Don't partake of that tree eitz hadat at all. Ki biyomach lecha mimenu motumat. Because on the day that you eat it, you will die. By the way, that's what the serpent said. No, that's not true. Let's go back a second. What did she say? Back in source number 1. God said, hinei amar elokim lo kumenu v'lo tugubo pen tumutun, that you'll die. And the Nachash says, you won't die. By the way, he uses the word biyom in Pasuk Hei. Ki yodei elokim biyom achlachem, which God said you're going to die. He says, no, on that day, your eyes will open up and you'll be like God's knowing tov v'ra, whatever that may mean. So we go back again to source number 5, and God says, ki biyom achlachemenu mot tumat, and the day you eat it, you're going to die. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, once again, it's Hashem Elokim over here. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, lo tov hayot ha'adam levado, esa lo ezer kenegdo. So, first, I want to make an observation. We're going to skip a little bit, and then we'll work backwards. Reb Chaim Paltiel in Source 14. He's from apparently from the Balei Tosfot. The Eitz Chaim B'toch Hagan. So he's explaining the B'toch. The Im Tomer Manish Tana Targum Shel Toch Zeh Mikol Toch HaKatuv B'Torah. Why is he different here when he describes Toch from every other place? And what he's trying to tell you is that every other place he doesn't say Mitz. In the middle, b'mitziut, every other place he says b'go, that it's inside, which means, again, does the word b'toch mean inside, or does it mean in a very specific in the center? Now, I have no idea what he's talking about when he said this. I just found it interesting that he said it. And after I saw it, it stuck in my mind, and then I went and I checked, of course, every single b'toch in the Chumash, and every single targum of the Unkelus in every single b'toch. So if you just look at source number 6, and over here he says b'mitziut, just like he did in the other ones. By the way, you would have been led to believe by Rav Chaim Paltiel that it doesn't say that. In fact, till this point, most of the betochs are actually b'mitziut. You have in Perek Tet, where you have Noach rolling about betoch ohala. Here it's b'go, inside the tent, not the center of the tent, inside the tent. And I'm not going to try to figure all those out. Which certainly shouldn't mean in the very center, bigo karta, in the city. Rashi nonetheless follows Unkelus and says betoch beemtza. And I want again to stress, you should not have had to say this, except for perhaps one thing. Because again, Rashi clearly knows everything that I know here. But just to notice something. Why it looks like Unkelus would have done this, at least in this case. We can try to figure out the other cases. Because over here it says, here I mean, where it's first introduced, source number 3, V'yitzmacha shem alakim min ha'adama, kol eitz nachmad l'mar v'tov l'machal, v'eitz achayim b'toch hagan. So did it have to say b'toch hagan there? V'eitz achayim, v'eitz adat, tovara. I'm not sure if you needed the b'toch at all. I'm not sure if you needed the gan at all. But I think that's what Unkelus, and certainly what Rashi's doing, is b'toch be'emtza. What's it adding? It's not like the other cases where he went into the tent. Over here, of course, we're talking about the Garden of Eden. This is what God made in the Garden of Eden, so he made these trees as well. You could figure out if that's really correct or not, but that's what it seems to be. The Radak, in source number 13, tells us, the Eitz Chaim b'toch hagan, the Eitz Hadat tov v'ra. B'toch k'targumo b'mitziut ginta. Toch means, just like the Targum says, in the center of the garden. V'hadavar yeh nishmar yoter be'emtza. Hamakom b'nei sha'advarim shehim sevivo yu k'chomalo. And something in this very center is the most protected, because everything else can be like a wall to protect it. V'hadavar chaviv v'nehav l'adam yasimu b'toch ha'advarim ha'achirim k'dei shiu lo choma u'mishmeret. So you, of course, notice I'm not saying anything about what happened on Shabbat, talking about walls and protecting us and so on. But he says that it makes sense that it's in the center, and therefore everything around it protects it. Uperish Eitz HaChayim, shetzmiach gam Eitz HaChayim b'toch hagan, v'hu Eitz haya b'tiv'o l'chazek teva adam, ochel mimenu v'yichye zman rav me'od. Which is interesting, because what he says over here about Eitz HaChayim, he doesn't say you live forever. He says that it has within it medicinal qualities. It's medicinal. It's not magical, it's medicinal, that it will cause somebody to live a long time. But if you go into, in terms of the of a more mystical understanding of it, then it has this other quality which would actually make a person live forever. I'm skipping a little bit within the Radak. And the two trees are next to one another. Now, why do you have to say they're next to one another? Because each of them were described as being betoch. In chapter 2, you have the Eitz HaChaim described as being betoch, as Unkelus tells us, therefore it's be'emtza. And in chapter 3, when we talk about the tree that they ate from, which was clearly the sin, so that was described as betoch. So therefore he says, therefore the conclusion is that these two trees must have been very, very close in proximity to one another. Upirishabotia yidiya betov ubara, ohu chasera nismach, upirishau hadat dat tov vera. So he's explaining a little bit, but it doesn't concern me that much right now, exactly what the qualities of the tree of knowledge are. Rav Chaim Paltiel, who we started before, and he tells us, "Uman nishtana targum shel toch zemi kol tocha katuv b'torah, va'od lefima shekatav pen yishlach yadov lekach meitzachayim v'chochay la'olam." So just pause for a second now. What he's referring to, we'll come back to source 14 in a second, is at the end of the scene there, Pasuk Kav Bet, back in source 1, Vayomer Shem Elokim Heina Adam Hayakachad Mimeno Lodat Tov V'ra, which, by the way, sounds very much with that which the Nachash said. And I just want to stress, we'll see more in the Ramban hopefully soon, that the Nachash is pretty good in what he says. That he says that man will be like whatever this means, lest man now outstretch his hand, and he'll eat from the tree of life, and then he'll live forever, which sounds very much that this tree has qualities. I don't care right now if it's medicinal, if it's natural, or if it's magical, but God is saying we have to get him out of the garden because he's going to eat from that tree as well. So Rav Chaim Paltiel understands that. And he says over here that again, now this is a wonderful question which should bother every one of us. Because, you know, I don't know if Adam was Jewish or not. I don't know if he learned in yeshiva at all. I don't know if he had a goyish cup or a yiddish cup. Any single Jewish kid would have said, hold it, there's two trees. One, if you eat it, you'll die, and the other one, you'll live forever. So which one do you eat first? Right? Anybody who ever played Monopoly know what's going on over here. You get the get-out-of-jail-free card. You get the get-out-of-jail-free, and then you can do whatever you want afterwards. So it's the same thing over here. Which one do you take first? You eat from the Eitz HaChaim first. Then you go to the Eitz HaDaat, and God can't do anything to you. And that's actually what he's playing with over here. And Kain afilu kodem sho'ochal mimenu me'Eitz HaDaat, haya l'chush l'chashashazu, meaning, hold it, shouldn't God have been concerned about this, that Adam was going to do it the other way around and eat from it first? V'shuv l'kines mitav b'ma she'asa, and then he couldn't have been punished. V'tiritz Rabbeinu Sadia, the kozman shelo chata lo haya mo'il lo Eitz HaChaim, rak l'rapeh, that's unbelievable, Rav Sadia said. He said that the whole purpose of the Eitz HaChaim was as the antidote to the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'ra. If you ate from the Eitz HaChaim by itself, it wouldn't have done anything for you. It was the antidote if you ate the poison. Now, why would God create the antidote if he wants to give somebody punishment? I hope you understand where all this is going. According to Rav Sadia is telling us, that something was missing over here. And it's actually the part I'm not going to go into in great depth, but I do want to explain it. Because the truth is, this is just a Dvar Torah by itself. You can just use this by yourself. What's he really saying here? That had Adam eaten from the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'ra, and then God confronts him and says, what happened? And Adam would have said then, I am so profoundly sorry. I messed up. We messed up. We did the wrong thing, and we're sorry. Presumably, God would have plucked off an apple or whatever it was from the Eitz HaChaim and said, here, take a bite of this. This is the antidote. And then now you can live again forever. Which means this tension between the two, the way Rav Sadia plays it, is fascinating because the problem is just so profound the other way. Because any person with any kind of sense, of course, you could tell me, before you eat from the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'ra, maybe you don't have any sense. Which itself is a whole other question. What is the difference between man before versus after eating from this? Which is something the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim goes into. The Sforno speaks about this a lot as well. But over here, we have a really interesting dynamic according to Rav Sadia. Eating from the Eitz HaDaat beforehand, eating from the Eitz HaChaim beforehand would have had no impact whatsoever. The only thing it was there for was an antidote after a person already ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'ra, presumably only to help if Adam would have done tshuva. Mashal l'mashkei rofim shemarpim adam micholim ulavriyam einu mo'il lehem l'chiyot yoter. Va'od yesh lomar, and you can say a second thing as well. The Eitz HaDaat hayo makifit kol Eitz HaChaim. That the Eitz HaDaat surrounded the Eitz HaChaim. By the way, we're back to the problem of Betoch. That they're both in the center, But the Eitz HaChaim is in the epicenter, and the Eitz HaDaat surrounds it. Kidim Kelagin and Bimitziut Tagana, as it says in the center of the field. Velo begun kishar toch, and not begun like every other toch, right? That's because that he insisted that from the beginning. Ukishipirates ageder me Eitz HaDaat azamar vata pen yishlach yado. Essentially, what he's claiming is that till he eats from the Eitz HaDaat, he had no access to the Eitz HaChaim, and it's only now, that's what that verse means. Oh, now perhaps he'll eat from the Eitz HaChaim, is because now he had access, but beforehand there was no access. But at very least, Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel is interesting because he is trying to figure out the location of these two trees. The Ramban is going to go in a similar path. Eitz HaChaim b'toch gan v'Eitz HaDaat tov rab avor she'amar katuv Eitz HaChaim b'toch gan v'lo amar began, right? Which is what I had suggested before. Va'od shemay piya Eitz HaShem b'toch gan asher amar Elokim lo tochlu shelo yizkiru v'lo hodiu b'shem acher. It's a well known place. The specific place. All this really goes more to Rashi. Which goes back to our, they're both described as betoch. That imagine two trees that then are surrounded by some kind of a little protection, like a little shrub perhaps protects the two. Uboshne ilanota eila. Via emtsa ze rachav, ki emtsa hadak kvar amru she'en yodea bo amitot tanaguda bilti Hashem levado. Which means this idea of which is, you have a real big garden, it's the Garden of Eden. Two trees are in the middle. What's the precise middle? We don't know. Only God knows. But it's a chayim ilan priyo noten ba'ochlav chayim arukim. And the Eitz HaChaim gives you long life. Now, I'm not sure to what extent the Ramban may be doing something which is a little polemical over here. That was part of what I was trying to figure out before this year. Because he says, there are those who explain that this gives sexual desire. And therefore, they cover themselves up. By the way, you could have argued just as easily the other way around. If they would have been clothed and they unclothed, they say, ah, oh, you see, that creates desire. So, meaning, it's a great indication when you have two facts, but they're not necessarily saying, that's why it's a suggestion, some say. And we'll skip a little. And he rejects this. Why? So it means the Ramban says what we intuited earlier is that the Nachash speaks the truth. What he said was correct. But then he writes, and this could have been bolded, Ki Adam hu ose b'tivo, mashur oi lasot kefiya toladot, kasher su ha-shemayim v'kol tzavram. Which means it's eating this tree created the ability of doing things which are either good or bad. And again, this point about what the Eitz HaDaat was, I don't want to get into so much. Just continue a little bit more. Because now, again, I'm saying again, he's rejecting this idea that the Eitz HaDaat is one of sexuality. By the way, the easiest reason to say it is the next chapter says, V'adam yadat chava ishto. V'nei be'eta zot lo yaben adam v'ishto ha'mashka l'ta'ava. Aval be'eta holada yitchabru v'yolidu. So what he's saying is that till this point, Adam and Eve, and just keep something in mind, at the end of the last, he's going to mention it in a second. At the end of the last chapter, it says that Adam and Eve were naked and they weren't embarrassed at all. But before that, even it says, Vayala basar achad, and so on. So the Ramban is claiming that Adam and Eve, before eating from this, again, according to this approach, they would have had relations, but purely for functional purposes of bringing children to the world. But there would not have been any reason, by the way, which you can even call sexual desire or, for that matter, romance. Ulachain, hayu ha'ivarim kulam be'ineihem kipanim v'yadayim v'lo yitbalshu b'hem. Therefore, this is just functional, and therefore there was no embarrassment. V'ne'achareiach lu min ha'etz hayta bi'yado ha'bechira u'ratzono l'hara o l'hativ bein lo o bein l'acherim. That's when this Eitz Adat Tov Ra, now you can do good, you can do bad. V'zeh midat elokit mitzad echad, and therefore they'll be like God. It is like God, because God can do what we perceive as good or bad. V'ra'ala adam b'yot lo bo yetzah v'tava. And if I'm losing you here, it's fine, because I'm getting to the point I really want to get to. And that again goes back to the connection between these two trees. So he continues and he writes, he didn't really explain what it would do. It's really interesting he says that. One second, do you notice that? Did God say that, or did Eve say that? We pre eats betochen klomar you do bem tzoto lo tuchamenu v'hum amar isha l'nachash. So the Ramban is claiming that what Eve said is exactly what God said, which is a little difficult because it's not what God said when we saw in chapter 2. But katuv shemar eats adat tov ra lo tuchlum imenu hiskira katuv elenu bishmo. So I hope that you're as confused as I am, because essentially, again, I want to make sure that we understand one another a little bit till this point. We have two trees. God tells specifically that the Eitz HaChaim is betoch Hagan. Eve says specifically that the Eitz Hadat is betoch Hagan. God says specifically which one not to eat from, while Eve doesn't tell us which is the one that we shouldn't be eating from. Rather says the one which is betoch Hagan, which is itself confusing. Where did that confusion come from? That's part of what bothers me. The relationship between these two trees is also really confusing. What we saw so far was one really interesting comment by Rav Sadia, that the Eitz HaChaim was only functional after man sinned. And I'll say it again, that's a great, great Dvar Torah by itself, that God created man with the ability to sin, and God created the way to repair the sin immediately, and all we needed to do was to embrace that, and we would have fixed that sin. But what's the problem? The problem is that Adam could not admit that he was wrong. Once Adam couldn't admit that he was wrong, then God chases him out of the Garden of Eden. So that's pretty much where we're up to. Let's go back and now try to go a little bit further. Rabbeinu Bachaye, again, is trouble. And again, that's what I want to point out. Everything I'm talking about today is about this word betoch. And he's going to try to, you know, get himself out of it. And soon we'll get to the real surprising ones. Ve'etz HaChaim betoch Hagan, bir katuv, ve'etz HaChaim she'a betoch Hagan. Be'emtza'uto mamash. It was in the very center, Eitz HaChaim. And by the way, that's what we were told back in chapter 2, Perek Bet. V'loya sakein be'etz hadat, ki lo perush be'ezem akom ya min hagan. And Eitz HaDat, we weren't told where it is, exactly. Amnam, mimash yizkir betoch Hagan, but when it says betoch Hagan, v'husham bein Eitz HaChaim v'al Eitz HaDat, but when it was described both of them as being betoch Hagan, anu mevinim ki shneim ayu bevaday betoch Hagan. And now we know both of them betoch Hagan, v'af al pi shehem shnayim v'iyev sher l'shnein not liyot be'emtza mamash, even though both of them couldn't be exactly precisely in the middle, hayubakan lamata achad ulamala shnayim. It sounds that what he's saying is that the two trees have one root and two different branches going into two different directions. That's what it sounded like to you? Hayubakan lamata echad ulamala shnayim. Ki chavuran echad mi lamata vochim umitpardim lamala. Uvachen yu shnayim be'emtzo gud hagan mamash. And he's going about to try to prove that point. Now, I hope that you're impressed with this, because what he just now told us is that the two trees were really one tree. How does he know the two trees are one tree? It's because it says betoch by both of them. Now, again, this could be somewhat disturbing to us, because the only difference between the two trees, one root, but they're two different branches. Again, we can imagine going in two different directions, but essentially, nonetheless, we're talking about one tree. His proof for this is fascinating because he says it's not the only case that we see this phenomena. He continues and he tells us, you know, take a look. V'akatuv mesaper v'lech naharot gan edim. Right after it starts talking about the rivers. V'odiyana sheyesh lo arba naharot. It talks about four different rivers. V'otan arba naharot yotzim v'nimshachim minaharachat. All four come from the same place. Just like the four rivers can all come at the same point, so the trees and just realize, he says at the end, just in case you think you just now understood anything, because he just explained a lot, he goes, no, everything is spiritual over here and you didn't understand anything. Now, that idea that the two trees may actually be the same, look at the Moshe Skenim of the Balei Tosfos in source 17. Balei Tzachayim B'toch Hagan Targum Unkolos B'mitziut Kotav Bal HaMikra. Now, I don't know who this is. I have a suspicion, and that will be, we'll see that in the Torah soon. Kotav Bal HaMikra She'ei Tzachayim V'ei Tzadat Einam Ela Ei Tzachad. So again, we saw this with Beinu B'chaye, and now, but this is earlier. We see that they're one tree. That one tree is called the Eitzadat and Eitzachayim. But according to Eitzadat, before Shnitchadesh Lochem Yediyah B'Tashmish, he goes back to this idea, going in terms of a certain knowledge, like Adam Yadat Chavishto. And then they notice that they were naked. And what comes right afterwards says Tevot Mitushtat Shod. In the manuscript, they could not tell the next couple of words. So that's all that we have. The Torah goes in the same approach. But the Torah is going to do what I first did the first time I heard someone suggest this. I won't say the first time. This idea that there was one tree is has been suggested, as you see, going all the way back to the Rishonim, going back to modern times. There are people, contemporaries, who've written it as well. And if you're good enough, you can sell it, and you can convince people even that that's the case. Oh, it says Batok by both of them, therefore it's the same tree. Now, I don't believe that it's really the case that it's the same tree. I just want to say that very clearly. And the one who's actually going to tell us who said it is going to be the Tur. So just one thing about the Tur. The Tur is the son of the Rush. The Tur, as we have it in our Chumash, is generally the Tur which has been Hakatzar. They cut out most of his commentary. Essentially, publishing books in the olden days and publishing books today is all about getting your market. So the more books you can claim are in your volume, you know, the more sales you can do. The problem with the Tur, and by the way, there's lots of books like this, is that, you know, I'll just say, for example, if you were to learn the Akedah Yitzchak and you were to learn the Yerbar Benel, you would likely be shocked to realize the amount of correlation between the two. Should I say it in a nice way? The Yerbar Benel rips off the Akedah Yitzchak. Not only does he rip him off, he doesn't even quote him. Every now and then he may say, oh yeah, you know, by the way, word for word he takes from him. The Tur ripped off the Ramban. Now, they didn't see it that way. They saw it as actually doing something positive, as giving honor and so on. But they didn't always quote. I think there were different kind of ethics in terms of citations, kind of maybe like college students today, that you don't necessarily have to quote everything that where you got it from. Anyway, the Tur, when they published it, they cut out almost his entire commentary, and all they left in, I'm saying for the most part, were cute gematria kind of things that a person would think that's all the Tur wrote. You can go and buy a book today, which is called the Tur, not HaKatzer, HaAruch. And you say, oh, what's the rest of it? Well, a lot of it's the Ramban, but there's lots of other really interesting things in it. And that was what the Tur looked like before the publishers cut it into little pieces. So now let's take a look at the Tur and what do you say? And you'll notice here, HaTur, HaAruch, the Torah in its original sense. Ve'etzachayim b'toch hagan, pirish etzachayim ya be'emtzagan, mokoro yadua. V'nodel yadishmo shehu etzachayim, v'alkein amar b'toch hagan, v'lo amar b'gan. V'chein targum unkulis b'mitziut, ganta. So all this we've seen already. V'zeo shishiva chaval l'nachash, v'priya etz, asher b'toch hagan, and that's our problem. Why is Eve describing the other tree as b'toch? Amar l'kim lo tochlu menel shesher lo iskiru b'shmo. She never mentioned its name, and I said that from the beginning. When the sin takes place, it's the name Eitz Hadaat is never used. Elokivin Shiskiru Makomo, once it said its place, no da mihu. It's only about the place, you know what it is. But you could just as easily, meaning I could make an argument right now that they never really ate from the Eitz Hachayim. Sorry, from the Eitz Hadaat, they really ate from the Eitz Hachayim because it's described in Toch Hagan. Because we don't know which tree they ate from. By the way, the biggest proof of that would be, just if I wanted to bother you, they didn't die. So maybe they ate from the wrong tree. Right? They're supposed to die. Maybe that's the proof they ate from the Eitz Hachaim. They lived a real long time. You like the way I just now did that? Probably not. But I hope it's more interesting than you thought. You didn't realize I was going there. V'imken kasha, heich amar Eitz Hachaim b'toch hagan ve'Eitz Hadaat, heich yiyu shneim b'emtza nekuda. How can they both be in the middle? Well, Pirush Ramban, and that we've seen, v'ada yiyu shneim b'makom hayadua. By the way, I told you, he quotes the Ramban a lot. Emtzagan, ki ilu taseh be'emtza ruga suga. Right? We saw all this in the Ramban. U'b'nei shnei, right? Ha'ilanot ha'ilav ayu emtzazeh. Emtza rachav. It was a wide middle. V'yesh meforshim, and some say, she'etzachayim haya mamash be'emtza nukuda, ve'etzadat haya mikifo ba'anafav saviv harayu shneim be'emtza. And we saw that as well. That one was really in the middle, the other one surrounded it. Right? We saw that before. Uvachinecha lama lo chashash HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyikach me'etz hachayim miyad v'achach. Sorry. Right, that was Chaim Paltiel, if I'm not mistaken. V'achach kach yikach me'etz hadat v'yichye la'olam. V'gam yeh bodat el b'nei sheyitz hoya etz hadat mikifu la'etz hachayim. V'yichol igabo ad achir shachame etz hadat u'pana lo makom l'geshet ilav. Rav Yosef Kimchi, by the way, we haven't heard that name before. Rav Yosef Kimchi is the father of the Radak. Also, you'll now hopefully remember that that's where we started today, really. We started with the Radak. And the Radak said he followed Unkelus, and they're both in the middle. And it's really interesting here that the Radak does not quote his father, either to agree or to disagree. But I can presume that when he was a kid learning Chumash, he learned it not Chumash with Rashi. It could very well be that he learned Chumash with his father. And now let's look how the Torah quotes his father. He says, "Rav Yosef Kimchi Pirish ha'etz hachaim ve'etz hadat kol echad." So he's the one who suggests that they're both one tree. Uma shemar pasuk etz hachaim ve'etz hadat zeu ka'adam sha'omer al echad ish chacham ve'ish tzadik. And now you realize what was being quoted before in the Moshe of Skenim was actually coming from Rav Yosef Kimchi. They ate from both, which is very strange. I hope you understand. And now the Torah is saying, I'll be nice, but he's really saying it's preposterous. He says, how can you say that? Because what do you do with the pasuk later on? Hein adam ha'yachad menu, he's going to eat from the other one. Atay yishlach yado. Lefi dvarveu kvar achal mimenu. According to what he's saying, he already ate it. So, meaning, that was really my problem with this whole approach. To say that they're both the same tree, then why would God say, right, that was back in the first source, why would God say in Pasuk Kaf Bet, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Hein Adam Yachad Mimenu, Ladat Tov V'ra, they've already eaten from one tree, Vata Pen Yishlach Yado V'lakach Gam Me'etz Hachayim V'chal V'chay La'olam, and now eat from the other tree. Sounds pretty clear that God doesn't think it's the same tree. So this is fascinating to me, that you have God with one opinion, and you have Rabbi Yosef Kimchi with a different opinion. And I don't know exactly how you go about doing that, which is really what the Torah is saying. And he's saying it really in a nice way, much nicer than me. He's saying, I don't know. I know I've heard that he said this. I don't know how it really fits in properly. So let's just pause till this point. What we now know is how confusing these two trees are. All of this comes, again, because of one word. because of the word betoch. But again, I want to remind you of the problem. The only one which God described as betoch was the Eitz HaChayim. Eve describes the other one, which now can bring up a whole other problem. How good was Eve's Masorah? I mean, Eve wasn't precise when she said, and God said, if you touch it, you're going to die. That wasn't there. Which means there is a lack of imprecision over here. So why are we presuming that there's precision, therefore everything which it says is the same, and therefore and then the illogical conclusion of that is that there was only one tree. So again, that's essentially the problem that we have. And I'm just illustrating everything I've done till now to show what happens when you eat from a tree of knowledge of good and evil, you get confused. And the commentaries, I'm sorry for this, seems to be completely confused on this by coming to all kinds of conclusions by something which isn't there. Why am I saying it isn't there? There is no clear statement about that they were both in the same place. Where did we get that from? Because they both said Betoch HaGan. What does Betoch HaGan mean? We're both inside the garden. Okay. That doesn't mean they're in precisely the same place. It's only because of Unkelus that Unkelus says that Betoch is Be'emtza. Oh, you can't have two Be'emtza. By the way, you can't have two Be'emtza. You can have two Be'emtza without even getting to the problem. By the way, this is a mathematical problem. It's not a theological problem. But you can get two things Be'emtza, depending where you're measuring from, how you're measuring, and without even having to say, you know, we saw a couple of interesting things. There were two trees, but they had one root. Why? Because they needed, it's all of these commentaries were coming from the exact same place. And what place is this? Both of these trees are precisely in the middle, geographically, and now we have to figure out how that can be. So therefore, one conclusion is one root, two different branches. The other conclusion is, no, they're both the same tree. How can they be the same tree and have opposite effects on you? Which means, what is going on over here? So I'll say it again. All of this is born from the Targum, and all of this is insisting that they were both in the precise same place. And I'll say it again. Eve's entire description here is difficult, and I am so unconvinced that we should take this word betoch and use it with precision when everything else she says was imperfect or imprecise. Let me just try to show you what I mean by this. Yeah, we'll skip a little bit, and I'll show you when I was trying to figure this out. Okay? So, I have over here, you see, Perek Bet Pasuk Tet. So I put it in separate lines. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim min adama kol etz nachad limareh tov lemachal ve'etz hachayim betoch hagan ve'etz hadat tov v'ra. Right? And then later on, breaking it up, mikol ha'etz v'lo tig'ubo pentamutum Elokim. Right? Lo motumutum v'tirei isha ki tov ha'etz lemachal v'kitavahu le'inayim v'nachmana etz laskil. Now, how similar is her description, or what she sees, is that objective or subjective? How was the tree described itself? I know I've just confused you. It was kol eitz nechmad l'mare v'tov l'machal. That's all the other trees. Or eitz nechmad l'mare v'tov l'machal. Then and eitz achayim v'tochan v'eitz adat tov v'ra. And what is Eve? V'tere isha ki tov ha'eitz l'machal v'chitavahu le'inayim v'nechmad hu la'askil. Lahaskil, by the way, this is the only time it's used in the Chumash. V'nechmad is used twice. Tig'u, I checked every time that's used. You can look, it's interesting. It's it's used in terms of non-kosher animals in Vayikra Yud Aleph. It's used in terms of the sin of Korach. Don't touch anything. Again, inappropriate things to touch. It's used again with non-kosher animals in Devarim, Yudalid. The word ta'ava is used. Ha'asaf suf, fituvu ta'ava. Basar, ki ta'avan lenafshecha. And again, these, if you want one more time over there in Perek Yudalid in Devarim, these are the only other time that these words are used, but it's interesting that generally these words are used of touching something which one is not allowed to touch. lo tig'u, when she says you can't even touch it, it's because it's contraband. It's because it's not kosher. It's because it's something which is not allowed. So it's very interesting, that extension which she makes. It's also interesting, the ta'ava, and you'll realize now, of course, that the ta'ava is going to be the counterforce, which is going to end up overwhelming the understanding that you're not that this is contraband. I'll say this in a little easier way right now. Let's, again, we're over here, so take a look. The Nachash says you can't eat from any tree, and she says no, from that we can eat them. Which means it's contraband. And the Nachash says you're not going to die, and he's right about that. Again, that word biyom, which is used about dying, that what's going to happen? Which, by the way, God seems to agree with later on. But now the problem is vatera isha ki tova eitz l'ma'achal, v'kita'avahu le'naim, v'nechmada eitz l'askio. Now, this is the complete confusion, because all the other trees could have given a lot of these components, but once the ta'ava comes in, then essentially it's over. I want to go back now and look at the way that more modern commentators try to get to negotiate with these same problems which you had over here, and then hopefully we'll see something interesting. The question is, how many of them are we going to skip right now? Yeah, so we saw the tour. Yeah, in source 19, the Netziv, the Eitz HaChaim B'Toch Gam K'mashmo Shishkulato L'Foch Tivei Enoshi Shehu L'Shuv El Afar K'mavar B'Samoch. Man comes from the earth, just returns to the earth. But if you eat from the Eitz HaChaim, Ava Misho Chal Me'Eitz HaChaim, Afilo Einu Ra'oi Lo L'Kach, Harei Hu Chai Lo'olam. It's magic. It's not that it changes the name, it's magic. Kamo Shemar Shem, Gam Achar She'Ochal Adam Me'Eitz HaDat, Pen Yishlach Yado, V'Lekach Gam Me'Eitz HaChaim V'Chai Lo'olam. Which again is really the point, the Torah made the same point, that this is something which seems to be magical, even presumably, which sounds impossible, against the will of God. And that can't be. I've overstated it. But God says, lust to eat from. What's the problem? God says, you're going to die. You're going to die. But nonetheless, it seems very much. The Siv in Source 20 will deal a little bit more about the location and the middle and so on. But let's look at Rav Hirsch and Rav David Zvi Hoffman, because they're going to come in to a very similar place. B'yom achlcha mimenu motumat, pirsho kinira, titzchayev minafshecha. You'll be worthy of death, but they're not going to die right away, which is, by the way, is a problem. Rather, they received a sentence. Sometimes sentences take a while till they're fulfilled. It's a mystery. The modern man, Rav Hirsch says, has still not been able to conquer over the understanding in terms of human physiology, in terms of the problem of death. Which means that man in Gan Eden, now he's doing something totally different, was very similar to man who stood at Har Sinai. Ilu Shomer Torah. Again, man was given a job there, though, Dalu Shomra. Had man kept the Torah, Ilu Shomer Torah, Bachol Vavam, Achav Shar Shagzer Mot Tumat, Nitzke Mamiyad, Anach Motzim Gam Makom Acher, Shagalotu Tachlif Ladin Mavit. Which is really interesting. He says that
Adam's expulsion from Gan Eden, and later on when Cain kills Hevel and he then is chased away, and people are in Galut today, in the words of Rav Hirsch, all of this is an aspect of death. Because that's kind of like death, and therefore that's part of what was included of when you eat this, you will die. It means you'll be expelled from the Garden of Eden, which is a place of a different type of or eternal life. Leaving Gan Eden itself is death. Shekein gam ha-mavet einenu hashmada ela havara min olam hazeh, v'kach goliot adam migan Eden haya mavet bezir anpin ha-taka ledin ha-mavet.
says that's how God chose to give out that particular punishment. So again, I think it's fascinating. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, who knew Rav Hirsch, and he talks about the relationship, he quotes Rav Hirsch, but he goes what I think is a little bit further, and he touches upon something which is really interesting, which I'll explain a little bit, and then we're going to wind down. Why is man put on this earth? To do the will of God. And as time goes on, God gives us more and more commandments. God wanted to educate. And that singular rule, instruction that he gave man, why that particular tree? What was really the nature of that tree? Rov ha-parshanim ha-chadashim, most of the modern commentaries, which is, he knows about the other ones that we've seen, most of the modern commentaries, v'gam ha-rav shimsho for al-hersh b'neim, miniach shelo yazem miskulo tav shel ha-etz. It wasn't anything about the nature of the tree. She'achila mi-perev tavo lidei dat, that the tree itself, the fruits of this tree brings around knowledge. Ela etz ha-fach la-etz ha-dat tovera rak ekiv azarat Hashem. It's man rebelling and doing what God didn't say is what brings about the knowledge of good and evil. The rebellion against God is the knowledge of good and evil and not anything to do with the fruit itself. So I'm going to use this in a second just to explain something which is a little bit bigger, but I want to make sure that we understand this. We like magic. You know, that I guess is why Harry Potter sold so many books, which I haven't read any. We like to believe in these magical kinds of things. So therefore, there were these two magical trees in the Garden of Eden. One magical tree gives knowledge, but it's a confusion of knowledge of good and evil, and the other one brings life. And God says that once you ate from that tree, you can't eat from this tree. But what Rav Hoffman just now said is that it wasn't the fruit of the tree that brought about that knowledge. It was man rebelling which brought about that knowledge. The rebellion of man is now I've entered to a place that I have not been before. Let me bring what may be a parallel discussion. I gave a shiur years and years ago, and the topic of the shiur was Chol of Yisrael. So everybody thought I was going to talk about Chol of Yisrael. But the topic actually was, can an infant Jewish child nurse from a non-Jewish woman, or is there a special thing about having Chol of Yisrael, and not Chol of Akum, right? So it's actually discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Let me show you the source, because again, now that you've heard that, the Shulchan Aruch writes in verse 25, Rama, Chalav Kutit k'Chalav Yisrael, right? They're both the same, no difference. Mikol Makom lo yinukitinok mina kutit. Nana shouldn't have milk from a non-Jewish woman. Im of Shar b'Yisraelit, the Chalav Kutit mitamtem Halev. Now that's fascinating. There is this thing which is called Timtum Halev. So there's actually a machloket, an argument. It's really between the Rajba and I think the Maharals on the other side. What is it that causes Timtum Halev? So now, by the way, this idea then is going to be expanded to all kinds of non-kosher food. There's a fascinating tshuva of the Chatam Sofer that explores this idea. He was asked about a kid who was somehow had some kind of developmental problem, but there was a particular hospital that knew how to deal with them, with children like this. But the hospital wasn't Jewish, and the food he would have been eating there would have been non-kosher food. So after writing a whole tshuva where he argues that it really, that for a person to get their intellect, right, is considered to be pikuach nefesh, he then writes, nonetheless, at the end, he thinks that it's a mistake because you know, what? Why is it worth getting your intellect back if you're going to destroy your soul at the same time? Now, you just have to stop for a second. What is Timtum HaLev? Does it come about because an individual sinned? Which means, is it the collateral damage that takes place by sinning? Or is it something which is magical? And of course, the issue is going to be, what about a young child? A young child didn't sin. What about if somebody's sick? Pekuach nefesh, they have to eat something. So you say, no, you can't eat it. It's Timtum HaLev. It's going to bring about this Timtum HaLev. So it's interesting because now if you go back to Rav Hirsch, or really more so Rav Hoffman, he's saying, no, the qualities didn't exist. It was quite the opposite. He seems to be lining up on that position that it is the experience of sin, the rebellion against God, which is, I'll use that term now, Timtum HaLev, or if you want, you could say, no, it's not the Timtum HaLev. It's this Eitz Hadaat Tov V'ra, what creates the confusion? It's the fact that you rebelled against God. Because once you rebelled against God, the world is different. Once you rebelled against God, now you know you could rebel against God. Which means, over here, instead of saying, yes, it's the same tree, it's one tree, one root, two different branches and all, the issue isn't the tree. The issue is God declaring not to eat from that tree. Once God said not to eat from that tree, so now I can say, yes, there was something magical about that tree. I can say, no, there's nothing magical at all about the tree. The thing about that tree is that God said not to eat it. That's the damage. God says don't do it. That's the damage. On the other hand, what is the Eitz HaChaim? Again, according to this way, the Eitz HaChaim really shouldn't work by itself. And how can this Eitz HaChaim work? So I'll tell you. That's the problem that everybody seems to be having afterwards, because how in the world can you do something where then God no longer has agency? How is that even possible? How can God say, oh, he's going to do this, and then he's going to be able to live forever? I'm saying that's actually the biggest problem in all of this. The biggest problem is at the end, okay, there's this other tree that you can eat from. I'm going to go back to what I said before. I absolutely love Rav Sadia Gaon. Right, was Rav Sadia Gaon had said, is that it only works, and that was created for, to heal the sin, and is part of the tshuva process. Which means essentially God is then saying, and again, a lot of the commentaries were saying, there's a lot of deep things over here, and there's a lot of metaphor being used over here, but essentially what it's saying is that you can't just go to the Eitz HaChaim, because exactly for the reason that I'm saying is difficult, because there's no magic over here. It's not a question of magic. What it is a question of, are you doing the will of God or not? So therefore, the individual who stopped doing the will of God, that's the eating of the tree of good, that is the achila of the Eitz Hadaat Tov V'ra, because now you have this confusion of Tov V'ra. Now you think you can do anything. Now you think that you're like God, which is exactly the point. You don't listen to God. You think that you're a God now. You don't have to listen to God anymore. On the other hand, why was that other tree of life created? For the person to retract, for the person to back down, for the person to have humility, and the person to turn around, and especially when God confronts them, because that's exactly the issue. When God confronts you, do you now say, hold it, I am not God, and God is God, and I apologize, and I've done something wrong, and you backtrack everything you've done, and then the Eitz HaChaim is there in order to fix everything which had just now taken place. Which means essentially God is saying it doesn't work as magic and you can't just go ahead and take it. And once you've entered this world of sin, now you go off into exile. And as we saw, maybe that exile, as Rav Hirsch said, maybe that really is considered to be like death. Maybe God can punish us in any way that he chooses to interpret it. But the Eitz HaChaim at that point is not accessible, not because it's some magical thing, is that it only works in a particular type of a context, in a particular way of having accepted God after having made that mistake of entering into this world of good and evil. So essentially what I did is I gave two different shiurim today. I kind of connected the two of them together. But I gave two different shiurim. One of them was really centered around, no pun intended, of all of the Rishonim who were having difficulty with Onkelos saying that this was the very center of the garden, and then trying to figure out what is the relationship between these two trees, versus more modern, certainly in terms of when they lived, but also in terms of thought, probably a little closer to where we are, looking at this in terms of, you know, how exactly, perhaps psychologically, how religiously, how exactly does sin work? And as I said, it touches upon this issue of Timtum Shebelev as well, which we do see is an argument among the commentators, which means, is there some kind of magic involved in non-kosher which dulls the soul, or is it the result of sinning which dulls the soul? Which means that was the thing which was debated among the commentators, and that becomes really interesting when you go back now and read that into what took place in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to wrap up, and I very deliberately thought that we should learn. I think that learning is good, and I think it's Parsha Bereishit. We should learn Parsha Bereishit. And don't think ill of me that I didn't speak about what the situation which was going on. And I actually felt for the last hour the only time that I was completely calm for the last couple of days. So that itself has great value. And, we can do all of our worrying other and on the side and constantly. And we suffered a very, very tragic and profoundly difficult experience on Shabbat. And maybe it gives us a little bit more insight to those who came before us, who went through pogroms and went through massacres and somehow picked themselves up. And we're only here today because they made the decision to continue on. I mean, we go back and look at the past about how we got to where we are today. We are descendants of survivors. It doesn't make a difference, the Holocaust or not. We are descendants of survivors. There's survivors after survivors after survivors who made that conscious decision that we are going to continue. And that decision is what allowed us to be here today. So essentially, we are someplace between this commitment to the past and this commitment to the future, whereby we say, okay, they've done all kinds of horrific things. And you look at this, if anybody had any kind of a question, well, maybe Hamas is okay and maybe we're not okay. I think that the amount of clarity that we should have right now to realize how that is the most absurd statement in the world. We need to get it out a little bit better. We need to get it out. And we have a little bit of sympathy right now. But I wonder for how long the sympathy is going to last. But at least the truth that we have, and our soldiers are brave, and we pray that every one of them come back unharmed, and we pray that we're able to be completely victorious, and that we're able to follow the rules that God gave us, la'ovda u'lashomra, which gets as basic as it is. And if we're able to do that, then maybe God will allow us to partake of that incredible tree that Eitz Chaim. And ultimately we know that what is Eitz Chaim? Eitz Chaim hi lemachzikim ba, and the Torah is an Eitz Chaim, and that does give us life. And thank you for allowing me for the past hour to be involved in the Eitz Chaim, in the tree of life, which, as I said, gives us an incredible amount of nourishment. B'sarot tovot.